one of the things I want you to get is if you're going to be a leader's got to be able to affect people at many different levels. A leader's got to be able to affect who first? Who you got to be able to lead first? Yourself. Which means you got to be able to take yourself from a state where you're overwhelmed, you're tired, you're frustrated, you're burnt, you're angry, you're sad, whatever, and you got to be able to change how fast? In a heartbeat. Your ability to change your state in a heartbeat is the minimum level of mastery you got to start with. Okay? The second level is your ability to not just change your state in the moment, but to find a situation, that incredibly difficult situation where you normally just don't manage your state, and link it so that that situation puts you in a great state. Where the very thing that used to make you your worst now makes you your best. Where literally the trigger for pain becomes the trigger for pleasure. The trigger for weakness now becomes the trigger for strength. That's level two of personal mastery. And that's what you got to do. You got to be able to master, not just to be able to change in a moment, but really if you got to always remember to change, you got a problem. You got to pick those situations that scare you the most. And you got to look that tiger in the face and train that tiger. So you are the tiger's master instead of the tiger mastering you. You got to take it so when the tiger shows up, you show up at your best, right? You want to make it so the tiger triggers it. The third level of personal mastery is when you can create a model of the world where you don't have the tigers. Where you create a model of the world where you spend most of your time in the peak state. Most of your time where you feel centered and strong. Most of your time where you feel fulfilled. Your way of looking at life gives you more fulfillment. Your way of looking at life, the things that used to make you crazy now make you centered. And it's not just one thing, it's the whole area. In order to do that, you're going to have to change some of your model of the world, your belief structures, your rules, maybe your primary question, if you remember that. Does this make sense? So personal mastery is three levels. The ability to change your state in a moment, your ability to change state in an environment or context, which means a situation where it automatically triggers you. And ultimately, your ability to live in a great state. That's how you personally master yourself. That level of mastery, you must develop to lead. Right? It's just like saying, okay, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to lead these people. There they go, and I must follow quickly, for I am their leader. You know, I'm going to provide certainty to somebody, and I don't have any certainty within myself. You have to create it within yourself. But the second level of mastery, going beyond personal mastery, is when you're able to take another individual and help them change how fast? In a heartbeat. That's the first level of your helping somebody else. Right? The second level is you can help somebody else to pick the environments where their boogeymen are, the environment where their tigers are, and trigger it so the tiger for them makes them stronger, where you're able to do that for them. And the third level is where you can help them change their what? Model the world so that you can find those elements that make them nuts, help them to change that, so now many situations, all of them, the majority of them are handled on a large scale. Okay? The third level of mastery, though, the third major level of mastery is when you're able to do all three of these things with groups of people simultaneously. So if you think about it, first you got to do you at these three levels. Then you got to be able to do an individual. That's when you can become a coach. Then you got to be able to do it with groups of people. That's when you can really lead. Does that make sense? Okay. So what do you got to do? You got to take a group of people and get a whole group of people to instantly change their what? State. And you got to figure out how to get that rapport and connection and how to get this group of people to change on a dime. The second thing you got to do is you got to help figure out what triggers this group as a whole to go into a down state, and you got to create the environment that makes them stronger. And the third thing you got to do is figure out how to create a culture within the company, within the team, within the division, within whatever it is you're trying to manage, where the culture itself creates a model of looking at the world that significantly causes the majority of those people to live in a peak state, to contribute and to expand. Does this make sense? That's the level of leadership we're going for. Now, to do that, does it make sense? You got to get good at pattern recognition, pattern utilization, at least, yes or no? Because that's the only way you'll do it. Because when you got a group of people, if I got to stop and look at every person and scratch my head and think through what could make it happen, it'll never happen. But if I know there are only so many patterns and I can recognize them, I'm Gretzky. I can go there before they get there. If you've been to a date with Destiny, you'll see me, and some people go, how did you know? How could you possibly have known this? Because there are only so many patterns, and I've seen them all, and I can anticipate it. I know that gives me the edge. They're still trying to figure it out. I know what they're trying to communicate before they finish. You've had that experience, haven't you? So what we want to do is enhance that experience. We want to give you that edge.
So as Tony just said, how do you get that edge as a pattern recognition master? How do you gain that ability to identify the root of a problem quickly? What are patterns you can look for to create lasting change? And what patterns are you noticing that could be the cause of a person's problem. Already you've learned a handful of patterns to look for, patterns that could contribute to a person's success or a person's challenges. Those are the patterns of how a person is meeting their six human needs, patterns in a person's model of the world, or patterns in a person's triad, their physiology, focus, and language. When you can discover a negative pattern that is the root of a problem, you can then define solving the problem in a way that is achievable. When you recognize a pattern, you can predict things, you can anticipate, and you can quickly get to the source of a problem. We're going to learn in our next skill set that there are also patterns of evaluating, patterns in how a person is evaluating, patterns in the questions a person is asking themselves, or patterns of the states they go to. As I mentioned earlier in the session, many problems are the result of the decisions we are making or have made, and specifically, the way we're making those decisions. In this next session, Tony will explain the process of decision-making and the elements of a person's system for evaluating. How does someone evaluate information, a situation, or an issue? Is a person's system for evaluating causing problems for them? Oftentimes, as you learn, the state we are in or the questions we are asking ourselves could be the root of our problem. What way of evaluating needs to be changed to help solve this problem and prevent similar problems in the future? You will also learn what a neuroassociation is and how that neuroassociation may be the link to what is causing the problem. So let's bring back the big guy, Tony Robbins.